Going back to Bolivia, I was wondering, why did it take so long for Morales to declare martial law?
I mean, the army has been traditionally used against the labor movement and the left wing in Bolivia, as we know. I mean, Bolivia possibly has had more coup d'etat than any other Latin American country.
Mm.
Nevertheless, there is a peculiarity in the army, and it has been the case. Sociologically, the army actually is made of conscripts who are of Indian origin, indigenous origin. And the army is what, at the moment, is about 25,000 strong. And the army was always used, the resentment of the countryside, which is what these conscripts, as indigenous, you know, indigenous people in uniform, expressed, it was easy to manipulate them, to use them against urban interests, working class, the co-op, the labor movement, trade unions, and so on, that were extremely rebellious and so on. And they play that sort of traditionally, that conservative role. But for the first time in Bolivia, what you have is an indigenous government. And I can imagine the conscript, who is an indigenous person, when he goes back home, you know, on days when he doesn't have to be in the barracks, and realizes that his grandmother actually is receiving a pension that has been given to her by the government of $40 a month, just by the virtue of the fact that she is over 60. And when he sees his brother, who is another indigenous person, you know, it's about 10, 11 and so on, doesn't have to work in the streets because the government has given him the Juancito Pinto bonus, which is about $200 a year. So that all this, the young person has to prove that he's just attending a school to ensure that actually he gets an education. When he sees that the social programs of the government is their influence and things. So I think any general today that is thinking of mobilizing the army against the government will have to think it twice, because I don't think they're sure that the army is going to respond to such an appeal in the way they did in the past. That's number one point. The second point is the government actually has got a particular project, which is to refound Bolivian politics by having a new constitution. This new constitution actually enshrines everything that is the new Bolivia. And obviously it's a very complicated process. It's very difficult to many vested interests. We have seen what the Half Moon people have done and they're prepared to do and so on. However, the key to the government is the legitimacy of the constitutional process of change. Anything that interrupts that will set the process back quite dramatically, and they have to start from zero. And the government has made significant gains in the long term, if you look at it in that way. So the government was extremely reluctant to use the armed forces, not because of the possibility of a coup, but because that would have meant the government recognizing that there was a crisis situation so badly that they have to interrupt the constitutional process, which is what the right-wing politicians want. Therefore, the government did not want to do that, number one. And number three, had the government unleashed the armed forces, to use an expression, what would have happened is very likely you would have had a lot of corpses around the place. And this is also what was being prepared. So the government was extremely, extremely reluctant to have corpses around the place. The massacre is something that the right-wing organized, of course, and is now they're paying the political price for it. But had the government used a heavy hand in order to do something more dramatic, then you can imagine, you know, the discussion today in this dialogue would be very, very different indeed.
Mm.
So it seems to me that the government was absolutely right to ensure that the right-wing politicians, the white racist elite, was not capable of interrupting the constitutional process. Now you can see the process is back on track in the following sense. What is being discussed is the constitution, the new constitution. How exactly the opposition are going to fit into that. If they don't want to, which is a possibility, they say, okay, we disagree, we're not going to vote for it, we're not going to bring this dialogue with it. The only solution that the government has is to have a referendum. And the government actually got 68% in the last one. Mm. And the constitutional referendum, the referendum about the constitution, which the government is proposing, which provision has been proposed to take place on December the 7th, but I don't think it's going to take place then. It's going to take place possibly next year. There is another decree that it goes together with this constitution, which is this. All officials of the local authorities must be elected. Now, this is very significant in the following sense. when you are elected as governor or prefecto in one of the Bolivian provinces, you decide who your people are going to be, councillors as well as, you know, deputy governor. In other words, you have the possibility of setting up your own political machinery immediately. And therefore, it looks like the right-wing politicians in the Half Moon are very powerful, but they're not. Where all the positions to be elected, then they'll have to share where they have a majority, say in Santa Cruz, where they have 60% and the mass, the pro-government people have 40%, you have a council that will run the place 60-40, which will weaken their position more significantly. That's why they're desperate to stop it. And I think that's the reason, you know, if you take all of these overall pictures, the government was extremely reluctant to use the army, precisely because it doesn't want to give the propaganda point to the opposition that the country has become ungovernable. And the government has proved that it can govern, can go through crisis, and they do it through dialogue and through constitutional change, which I think has been, in the overall, I think later on when historians write about it, they will find that, you know, Morales is a brilliant tactic.
From what you tell me, he's thought things through very, very cleverly.
Yeah, he could not deploy the army because his people were being killed and his supporters would not have countenance, you know, him doing nothing. So he had to do something, he had to stop the killings. Now, he did by doing it the way he did it. And yeah, I think it sort of paid off because you can imagine also the discussion in UNASUR would have been very different had he used the army in a heavy-handed fashion. As the way he did it, he came out, you know, with the high moral ground, holding the high moral ground, and still does it. Mm. And I think that is exactly right, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's elegant. Look, thank you very much for talking to us.
It was a pleasure.